Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn, and I'd like to invite you personally to join me and Breadbox Media on August 24th in New Oxford, Pennsylvania, for a day of spiritual renewal. I'll be presenting three talks, one on St. Joseph, one on the sacrament of matrimony, and another one on the Holy Eucharist. Learn more and register at breadboxmedia.com/PA conference. I hope to see you there.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, distributed through Breadbox Media. I am joined today by the author of Woman of Worth, Prayers and Reflections for Women Inspired by the Book of Proverbs by Melanie Rigney. Melanie, thank you so much for coming today.
Hey, Allison, thank you so much for inviting me.
I didn't get to tell you before you went live. I have to share that when the book arrived, and I looked on the back cover and I saw that my endorsement was chosen to be the words that people will look at when they're trying to decide whether they want this book or not, made me cry, first of all, because I just so admire you. I'm such a fangirl. And to even be asked to endorse it was huge. But then when I looked at all the other people I was in competition with, I just
you beat out Mary Lenneberg.
What? How did one do that?
Yes, you beat out Pat Gohn, who we both are fangirls of.
Exactly. That's the one that was like, what? I couldn't possibly. So thank you. And honestly, this is the word I meant every single word. This book is amazing. It touched my heart. It helped me as a woman go deeper in who God has called me to be. And so I can't wait to share it with everybody. That's enough of me talking. Now it's your turn.
Well, you know, I just have to say, fangirl back, you know that, stay connected. But I'll tell you, I am so humbled because you really captured what this book is about. And it's about our broken places and how I think as women, we do so much and things don't always go right. Things don't always go well. And we feel that the Lord is holding us up to this impossible standard and that our brokenness keeps us from Him. He doesn't want it to, but we try to let it. And when that happens, that's the evil one.
Yes. I should probably read what I wrote. I said, yeah. who doesn't have broken places in their life? And who at some point hasn't felt unworthy of love, especially God's love? Melanie Rigney astutely guides women through Proverbs 31, opening their minds and hearts to their own magnificent value. Meant every word.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. So let's dive into Woman of Worth. This is out from 23rd Publications. I always like to say a couple times, Melanie, where can people get your wonderful book?
You can get it. You can order it at any online or bricks and mortar bookstore. If you'd like to see a free sample, just go to 23rd Publications and they spell out 23rd.com. And if you look for it there, it's still on the homepage. And you can read a free sample. You can also order it. You know, again, you can order it anywhere, Amazon, your local Catholic gift store. Highly recommend that people work with their local stores. We know that that's important. And especially, I think, kind of the woman theme. I'm doing an event here in Arlington, Virginia this weekend at it's a secular bookstore, but the woman who owns it is Catholic. We used to go to the same parish. And I will just tell you that we need to support each other.
Oh my gosh, yes. You know, I couldn't agree more. I'm really blessed to go to the Catholic Marketing Network. Went last year. I'm going again this year. And to meet those small business owners, those Catholic bookstores, because the Catholic bookstores aren't just a place where there's, selling things. It's not just a marketplace. It is a missionary field. Yeah. And to be able to support people in that mission is huge. So, and if they don't have the book that you're looking for, you can go right up to the counter and say, yeah, I heard about this amazing book called Woman of Worth. Yeah. And I think women would be blessed by it. I'd like a copy of it, because sometimes the book owners don't know what people are looking for. If one person's looking for it, then somebody else is probably as well or will be. So I'm so glad you mentioned the brick and mortar stores, the Catholic bookstores. Get there.
And we buy most of the books, right? I mean, statistics will show that. So
we sure do. And most of us, finding it online is one thing, but I'm a kind of person. I love my books. I want to touch them. I want to feel them. I want to smell them.
Yeah, I know. And you never know what else you're going to find when you're there as well. You know, it can be kind of a holy experience to go to a bricks and mortar bookstore, I think.
I agree. And the Daughters of St. Paul have an adoration chapel in theirs, which I think is awesome sauce. Like, that is so cool.
Yep.
So great. I'll have all those links of how to get it. And I'll ask you again, of course, before we finish. But let's talk a little bit about the book, the idea for it, and the structure.
Okay. So the idea for it kind of came from a bad place, but God turned it into a good place.
I love when he does that.
Yeah, isn't that funny when he does that? So I had an acquaintance who, I happened to be divorced and annulled, and I don't have any children. And this woman was kind of telling me, not for the first time, that basically I have no worth. And and she's Catholic. I'm trying to be polite, and I say, well, you know, that's interesting, but I really think that the Woman of Worth is about Christ and his church. It's about us and the church. It's about us and Christ. It's about family. Of course it's about family, but it's about many things. And she said, oh, you're speaking metaphorically. And I said, there's nothing metaphoric about my relationship with Jesus Christ. So then I felt really bad. So I went home, and it kind of occurred to me on the way home that maybe that was a big step for me to see myself as a woman of worth, because I don't think I'm particularly unusual, just like you were saying at the beginning, Allison, that it's easy for us as women to dwell on the things that the Lord will find not pleasing about us. Mm-hmm. Maybe we have a temper. Maybe we gossip. Maybe we eat too much. Maybe we like our wine a little bit too much. And that does not disqualify us from heaven.
Good, because I'm all of the above. check. D, all of the above.
So I kind of started delving into the verse in more detail. And full disclaimer, King David is my favorite person in the Old Testament.
Really?
Sinned so large, and his faith was so large.
The words, a man after God's own heart, really, like, I think if you look, I forget sometimes those words, like we see like his sin of, adultery, and then having Bathsheba's husband killed. And, but then we hear God's words.
Yeah.
A man after my own heart. So God really does show that the greatest sinner still has his heart. And I'm guessing that's part of what you love about it.
Well, yeah. And you look at Psalm 50, I'm going to get it wrong, either 51 or 53. I think it's 51. Right after that, after Nathan has informed him that, that little story I told you about, that's what you did to Uriah.
Yeah.
And he goes to the Lord with this beautiful, beautiful, forgive me, cleanse my spirit. I come to you with a contrite heart. And that can be any of us.
And that is Psalm 51, one of my favorites.
Yeah. So
you and me, a steadfast.
Yeah. And you know, so how do you not love that? How do you not see that as a model? Because maybe we haven't killed anybody. Maybe we haven't committed adultery, but sometimes we let those things, the sins that we have committed, build themselves up and to the point that we kind of pretend we're God and that we know whether we can be forgiven or not instead of trusting in his grace and mercy. So you're absolutely right. We don't know for sure, but there's some thought that Proverbs 31, that passage 10 through 31, opens with who can find a woman of worth. And it's a woman, the mother of Lemuel talking to Lemuel. We don't know for sure, but we think it may have been Bathsheba.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. And not the baby who, you know, was conceived in the bad way because that baby died, but possibly talking to Solomon. And you think about it, a woman who knew that type of irregular life, I mean, she's married. She gets pregnant by a man, not her husband, whether, you know, we don't know whether it was a rape or certainly she probably didn't have any ability to say no. I mean, he was the king.
He was the king and all.
Exactly. But that she either could provide such wisdom, you know, a woman who sinned that big knows what, you know, that the Lord through Proverbs uses her or another woman, we don't know for sure, but to give us some instruction, I think is really pretty cool and maybe inspirational to all of us. I think that, you know, the challenge is if you just pick up Proverbs 31 and start reading it, you're going to put it down.
That's a good point. You really are.
Because how does she do all this stuff? You know, she's this businesswoman, but she also not only weaves, but she spins. And in those days, she would have spun by hand. She's really smart. She's really wise. The servants all like her. The kids all like her. She's an importer, exporter. Everybody apparently loves her, and she never sleeps because her lamp never goes out at night. And you're kind of like, there is no lesson for me here. I can't be that perfect. Yeah. But there really is. And that's what the book is really at its essence about, is taking each of those verses and kind of talking about what they mean to today's women, because this is not scripture for 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago. This is scripture for today.
I look at Proverbs 31 as like an archetypal of all women. Like, I'm going to find myself in one of those verses, not all of them. And I think that's what I loved about Women of Worth, Melanie, is that you break it down chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and you're not telling us to find ourselves in each one of these. You're telling us or showing us, really not telling us anything. You're showing us you can find yourself where in these verses where God has created you to be. You know, you a lot of us will have a lot of the, for instance, the trust in the judgment. God has given us all the gift of wisdom. We're all going to find that. I love that it starts with that, because I mean, it's not, that's how the Proverbs start, but that you call it chapter one of trust and judgment. Because I think sometimes that's where we need to start, to know that God has created us trustworthy, that he judges us worthy. And then as we move through the proverb, we can then start to see ourselves.
Right. And it's about, you know, like you said, some of those qualities come to some of us easier than others. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you're lacking in a category does not keep you from being a woman of worth. This is not, you know, don't throw the towel in. You know, there is so much good in all of us. So with each chapter, and I'm glad you mentioned that with the words, because that was one of the hardest things to figure out. So I knew I wanted to do like a little introduction to each one. And as you know, since we are both huge saint fangirls, I knew I was going to have a woman saint who exemplified each of them. So that part was kind of easy. Although, as you know, sometimes it's difficult to tell the girls that they're not going to be featured here in this particular book, but it is.
Love it.
And then, of course, some discussion, reflection, questions, and a prayer. That was kind of the easy part. And there were many chapters that I wrote that first. And then I really, this book probably involved more prayer than anything else I have ever written. Because I think, you know, as writers or anything that you do as a regular basis, you just kind of get to the point, okay, this is next, this is next, this is next. And that wasn't the case here. So I really prayed over, and some days I just would sit for a half hour and say, okay, what are the two words you want me to use here?
Wow.
And some days they didn't come. Or some days they weren't the words that I had planned to write. And, you know, so that's what you do. But so there's a kind of a little exposition there. Some of them, I kind of went off on a tangent that I hope people appreciate and don't think I'm too weird, but
I did.
The woman with the distaff, I probably watched, I would say, a good 15 videos of women hand spinning.
Wow.
Because it was such a fascinating concept. And the more I got into it, I'm a few years from retirement, but I think I want to do that in retirement, because you hold, you know, you got your spindle, you got your distaff, you're pulling your flax or your wool. There's not a whole lot of time to stay in your own head.
Wow.
You know, so you're pulling it and just, and it's, but it's also forgiving. So, you know, if there's a break, it's easy to fix it. Kind of like our lives.
What chapter was that one? I was looking.
The distaff and the spindle. Let me just look. That would be, I've got Proverbs 19. So let's just find that quick. Oh, I turned right to it. How crazy is that?
Hello, Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Holy Spirit's here. Page 52.
Excellent. Of humility and guidance.
Yeah. So think about it. You know, she's, you know, like we already said, this woman, she does everything, right? She literally is an importer-exporter. She deals with merchants all the time. It's like, she's rich. We know that. We know she's got a family. We know she has servants. Why is this woman spinning?
That's an interesting thought. I had never thought of that before. I thought of her poor. I never thought of her being rich.
Oh, no. I mean, her husband's at the city gates.
Oh.
They're a prominent family. They're a prominent family in this community. And so why do you do that? And I think you can come up with a lot of reasons why you would do that. Maybe she wanted to let the servants know that they were equal in many ways.
Oh, wow.
Maybe it was a way for her to connect with them on her level beyond, you know, beyond, hi, I'm the mistress of the household, and, you know, treating people compassionately and warmly. Mm-hmm. Of course, we should all do that all the time, but it's kind of like ministry. And believe me, I'm guilty of this, but it's a lot easier to send off a check someplace.
Yeah.
Than to go and volunteer at a homeless shelter or to say a rosary in front of an abortion clinic. It's a lot easier to send those people money. And that's why the humility of sitting down with these women, and who knows, maybe she even asked them for some advice from time to time. You know, I just think it's a beautiful picture of servant leadership.
And so you picked, you know, one of the things I loved, Melanie, is that you've written books on the saints before, women saints, and you always find these saints that I think I have a pretty good understanding of the posse of the heavenly posse out there, but you always find somebody that, and in this case, several people, who really surprised me. For this one, you picked Blessed Elizabeth.
Canori Mora.
Yes, and I'd never heard of her before.
She's probably the woman I speak the most about beyond the obvious ones. And she's the one who tends to resonate with people. And actually, I was once at a conference, which is why I talk about her now, because I was at a conference and there was a woman who came up to me afterwards and said, I'm not saying religious life is easy, but I'm at home. I'm dealing with a husband with addictions, and I have four kids, and the church tells me I'm supposed to stay married to this guy. Who's a saint for that? Because I'm like running on empty.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I think too, that's the important thing. I'm never going to judge because we only know one person's side of that story. And I mean, that's something you really would need to talk with a priest about as far, and counselors, whether you should stay in that marriage. That's not the point. The point is, in this particular marriage, Elizabeth Kanori Mora was told by God to stay in the marriage. I'll just talk about her briefly. Cut me off if I get going too long. Okay. So they were young and in love, and they were both wealthy, and they lived in Rome, and they're, you know, blah, 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 blah. And he was an attorney. And so they got married, and it was truly a marriage of love initially. And then things went downhill. He became addicted to gambling. He got a mistress and spent all the family's money, went and lived with this mistress. His parents were kind to her, but his sisters were not. In fact, told her that he wouldn't have these problems if it weren't for her.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So some people told her that they thought she should leave him. In fact, her confessor said, you know, I don't think you should be with him. But she stayed engaged. I mean, she didn't live with him, obviously, because he was living with his mistress. But she spoke kindly of him to their daughter. They had two daughters. She went in. She did a lot of ministry. She actually did some troubled marriage counseling. And she told him at one point that he would celebrate Mass one day and he would celebrate it for her. And his reaction was, yeah, my wife goes to Mass and I celebrate Mass in my bed. So she died. And he wasn't there because he was with his mistress. But it was not long after that that he started to experience a conversion.
Wow.
And became a priest.
That just started. Every time I hear it, it's still like, wow.
Yeah. So we don't know, but God specifically said to her, I desire you to stay in this marriage to save Christopher and your daughters. And so she did. And she found a way to do it in a way that did not endanger her, did not make her a doormat. And I think we need those kind of examples. Again, that's not to say this is right for every case, but sometimes God is telling you to do something that society doesn't agree with.
That is a good point. I agree. I'm glad that you clarified too, that not everybody's called to stay. It's discerning what God is asking you to do and getting good counsel for that. I think that's one of the things about that I took away sometimes from the Proverbs 31 woman, is that she's somebody who's discerning.
Yes.
And you know, it's got an ear to what God wants for her. And I think that's really important for us all. It's a great lesson for all of us that, you know, God may be calling us sometimes to something we don't like or don't want to do, or, but to be clear, it's God and not society or our guilty conscience.
Yep.
Or we're doing it for, you know, reasons that aren't healthy or,
well, and we never know. I mean, one of my other favorite ones, and I won't go crazy about this because they're all favorites, but the woman who's considered the mother of Catholicism in Canada was a widow and had a 10-year-old boy when she felt called to be an Ursuline in France.
Wow.
Yeah. And he went to the convent and, you know, banged on the doors and said, give me my mother back. And then she ended up going to Canada. Now, it's got a happy ending. He became a priest. The reason we know all this is because they repaired the relationship enough that they wrote letters to each other. I think she wrote sometimes up to 6 letters a day, you know, when she wasn't busy helping to establish Catholicism in Canada. But you know, but not all of us are called to leave our children behind.
Right.
We're not saying that, but it's that listening ear.
I think each saint has a lesson for us. And sometimes we think it's this obvious lesson, but I think the way that you write about saints, Melanie, one of the things I've discovered is that the lessons aren't always obvious for us and to know about them, but to, you know, again, have that prayerful reading of these saints to see what God is calling or teaching us in the saints. You do include my patron. Thank you very much. Louise. That is my patron, and I picked it as it's my middle name. I got my godmother's name, and I picked it for my confirmation name because this is my 13 or 14-year-old brain. My godmother was a wealthy woman, and I figured if I used that as my saint, I'd get extra presents. True confession. So I never looked anything up about her. I never knew anything at all. And it was a visit many, many, many years later to the cathedral, the Immaculate Conception Cathedral. I don't know if that's the word for it. I don't think so. But in Washington, D.C., where they have a statue of her.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to know more.
Ah!
I'm like, okay, I did okay. I'm not like you could pick a bad saint. But the funny thing is that she was a teacher, and so wasn't my godmother.
Really?
So, you know, as I grew older, I really admired my godmother for reasons beyond, like, and it turns out she wasn't as wealthy as I thought she was. It was just my perception. And her real wealth was her faith.
Exactly. Yeah. And don't you think that's just it? I mean, you know people, right? You thought she was wealthy because of the way she carried herself, because the way she cared for people, probably there was just almost an aura about her of peace or calm or serenity or joy, you know, and that happens when we embrace our woman, you know, the woman of worth that God desires us to be.
Yeah. Amen. So we have, so the structure of the book, I'd love, I mean, I'm a book club girl. You know, I think that if anybody opens this and looks at the table of contents, content. This has a lot to do with your conscience, but it would be contents. Not to get overwhelmed, 20 chapters, but it's they're not long chapters. When you look at the size of the book, they're very readable. But I like the structure because as a small group person, I could totally see my group doing this. It's good, almost like if I was structuring it for my small group, and you can chime in, as I would do this for probably four weeks, maybe five. So I would do 4 weeks, and then Monday through Friday, one chapter a day, and then coming together and take the weekends off. But I do love that you have, you know, content for you to, you know, the scripture, and then content for you to just to think about. And then of course the saint and the questions, and then a little like closing prayer.
Yeah.
Lord, help me to believe. So you have just all the contents, because people, like, I feel women avoid doing small group or coming together in Bible study or book club because they're just overwhelmed. They don't know how they're going to run it. They feel intimidated. But I'm so happy when books are created that makes it kind of like book club for dummies.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's a good point, because we all approach things differently, right? And you could definitely do it that way. You could do it on your own, one page a day or one chapter a week if you wanted to.
Yeah.
You know, there's no wrong way to get closer to the Lord when you delve into scripture. So, but I think that's a good point. Sometimes I think Bible study, we kind of beat ourselves up because we think, oh, I can't possibly get it all done. That makes me a loser. I'm just not going to join. And hopefully this is short and tight yet pithy and meaty. So
I love that. It is very, very meaningful and very like pithy and meaty. You know, another way I was just thinking as you were talking, 20 chapters, 40 days in Lent. You could also do a chapter in 2 days, a chapter of reflection. I think it's plenty of content to do it that way. And then you can do it yourself or with, I mean, again, I'm all about it. You know why I like to do it with other women, Melanie, is that I'm very easily distracted.
Yeah.
And I sadly need, accountability.
Accountability is a good thing, right? I mean, without accountability, it's easy to kind of fall into bad habits and and listen to people who, you know, listen to people or the evil one telling us that we don't, you know, we really don't need that stuff.
Yeah.
Or because we couldn't get through X amount, we might as well just stop.
And it's also that discernment process. I may read something and see it one way, and I love hearing how other people see it because they're different people in the different places in their life, and God touches their heart differently in His Word and in our spiritual reading. So, you know, I work for WINE, Women in the New Evangelization, and you know, that's one of the things that we really promote is that you come together with other women because women together elevate each other.
Exactly.
We help you see in yourself what you don't see. Like, well, how God sees you is usually how other people see you, but you never see that reflection yourself.
Right. Absolutely.
So is there anything else about the book that you'd like us to know or like to share about it before we wrap up today?
I would just say, I mean, I hope you read the book, but if you don't, be bold, be brave, go out on a limb, and be willing to believe for 1/2 hour today that God loves you to distraction.
I love that. And I think anyone really struggling with any of the things that you mention in here, or, you know, just themselves, but you also, you just give such great insight and for just, I think every aspect of womanhood, I don't even have to list them. Like every aspect of womanhood, Melanie has touched upon in her book, Women of Worth, and you are worthy. You know, women are worthy. We were just doing a study on Mary and talking about Eve, and Eve was God's greatest accomplishment, His greatest art, His greatest creation is women. Yeah. And yet we don't see ourselves as God's ultimate creation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, think of, you know, yes, kind of like Bathsheba, Eve sinned. Okay. Eve sinned big. And yet she went on to be the mother of us all. You know, she didn't say, well, that's it. You know, He hates me. I might as well just, you know, cry myself into stupor. I have no reason to continue living my life. But Eve didn't do that.
Yeah.
She, you know, at some level, she couldn't have gone on if she didn't trust that she too could be redeemed.
Amen. One of my favorite artworks is there's a picture someone has painted, obviously, of Mary comforting Eve.
Yeah. Ooh,
I will find it included in the show notes. It's just, it's so magnificent. And I think that to me, it says so much about how our Blessed Mother, like becoming the new Eve, her son redeems us. But her cooperation with the salvation history, the redemption, she's right there, like, and it just, it's beautiful. So I'm going to make a note for Mary and Eve photo. I will share that. It's so.
And you know, none of us is as perfect the way Mary was. But you know what? We can all be Mary to each other.
It's beautiful. So, again, thank you, Mick, for making time for me today. We're talking with Melanie Ridney and her beautiful new book, Woman of Worth, from 23rd Publications. Again, Melanie, where can we get it? And where can we keep following your wonderful work?
Okay. So you can get it at any bricks and mortar or online bookstore. If you go to www.23rdpublications.com, and that's spelled out, 23rd, solid, you can see a free sample, and take a look at my website. It's rejoicebeglad.com. I will tell you, response has been kind of surprising in a good way. So I am going to be having a Woman of Worth retreat here in Virginia in the Shenandoah Valley next June. So stay tuned for more on that. You know, you'll see that on rejoicebeglad.com as well, and, you know, blog entries and all that good stuff.
Oh my gosh, that sounds wonderful. What a great idea. I just, like I said, it touched my heart so deeply. I know women will be blessed by reading Women of Worth by Melanie Rigney. Melanie, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Allison, and blessings on all your ministries.
Thank you. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, distributed by Breadbox Media. God bless.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.